What is going on, you guys? It's your host, David Ramos, of another episode of Dad Rabbit Talks Too Much. I got my homegirl out here straight from Cuba. I'm kidding, from the MIA. Janelle, say what's up to everyone.
Hi, guys. How are you? Such an honor to be on here. I'm so pumped. Thanks, Dave, for having me.
No problem. Janelle, before we go into what we're going to talk about today, I just want to give the people a little bit of context about you. Janelle is a young and coming up CEO, entrepreneur.com, Forbes 500, the whole shebang. I'm just CEO. Wow. Of Trendy Nanny. So if you want to talk a little bit about that and maybe what I may have exaggerated. All right, Jay.
Yeah, so it's been an honor to be a part of Trendy Nanny. It's a vision that God gave me when I was part of an internship with our local church, which is called VU Church. And in that internship, I was not only allowed, my schedule was so busy that I had to find ways of how to really build God's kingdom, but also how to pay for my bills. And believe it or not, I ended up becoming a nanny and a babysitter. So there's two different, people are like, isn't it the same thing? It's kind of not, because nanny's full-time and babysitter's kind of like once a week or twice a week. But that's literally how I was able to pay for my bills and also being able to like do other stuff full-time. So when God gave me that vision, I realized that once I finished this internship, I wanted to be that vessel for other people, be that vessel for other young girls that are in colleges or are part of internships that are trying to find extra money on the side, and just really allowing them to find that opportunity too. But also I wanted to create really a company that would be a blessing to the family and that the family be a blessing to the nanny. So we believe in Trendy Nanny that every single moment is a divine appointment and every single person you meet is a divine connection. So our nannies are Christian nannies that love the Lord, that are known and full of wisdom and God's promises. So we believe that we're called to go into these families and be a vessel and just shine the light of Christ with them and on their children, just kind of reminding their children that when mom and dad are not around, when family's not around, like there's people out there that love the Lord and they're going to be able to love you so much. Because I believe when we love God so much, that's how we're able to love others healthy and effectively. So Trendy Nanny is incredible. We are a couple months in, located in South Florida right now, but we're believing that we're going to expand and just continue to just reach different families, whether that be Christian families or not. The whole goal is to just be a helping hand.
There you go. Dang, girl. Love it. Love the communication, the vision, everything. Now, let's get into a little bit about when you said you first got the vision and maybe about when you started and what happened to get you to start.
Well, that's interesting. So, I think God speaks to us in tremendously like different ways, right? So I had received that vision like a year and a half prior to me even launching Trendy Nanny. So it was a thought, it was an idea, and it was a vision all in one. And it was kind of something that I hold so close to my heart. You know, they say, not to say, the Bible says when God speaks to you, write it down. And you pray on it, and you kind of just hold it in silence. And what you do in private, God will reward in public. And so it's kind of something what I did. I just prayed on it, and I had thoughts. And like every single day, I was trying to find ways of if this was really from God or is this something that I just wanted. And over time, God was just revealing himself day by day and just showing me that not only this is what he wants for my life, but this is the opportunity for me to receive that breakthrough that I've been praying for so long. And you know, where God guides, he provides. So you know, a lot of times we struggle in businesses where we're wondering how we're going to get to the next step or the next vision, the next year or so. But I had this peace over my heart that I knew that God was just going to reveal himself every single day, and he was going to provide and bring the right resources and connections. And over the year and a half prior of me just really settling on it, like praying on it, keeping it close to my heart, I literally like just did my research. I was going to different agencies trying to see how they work, mm-hmm. and then I was trying to see how what I wouldn't want to do in my own path and what I would want to do. So just realizing what I wanted to implement in my own company, and just kind of seeing like the struggles that families are dealing with, why families find it hard to find someone they trust, why families are struggling to find someone to hold a commitment with them, and like what they're looking for. So it just kind of did my research, my background, and I think over time I it was a lot of like spiritual walk and like challenges, because there was so many times that, you know, I always felt like, well, you know, is this really what I wanted? But I never had doubt that this is what God wanted. I always had doubt in myself, because it's all fleshy thoughts. And the enemy will make you think that you're not qualified. The enemy will make you think that this is just not from the Lord. He wants to distract you because he doesn't want you to get to where God is taking you. So in that year and a half, I kind of just had to hold it close. And you know what the crazy part is? That God is so good that every, and I'm not even playing, every single week he reminded me of that vision. And I had like the five greatest mentors in my life. They're couples. They're actually all couples. And they all mentor me individually for different areas in my life. And that same couple of weeks I was praying on it, I would walk up to them and they would say something. One of them had a vision of me starting this exact company. The other one had a vision that I would help incoming interns and young college women. And then another vision, like another mentor had a vision that I was starting up something. And it was all without me sharing what God had placed in my heart. And then after that, I got, you know, I got connections from all around the world. Young women were asking me how they can survive and live without having to, like, without working every single day in Miami. And they come through to Miami. And just, like, I don't know how, but the Holy Spirit allowed them to, like, reach out to me. And that's when I knew day by day, like, wow, God, like, you're doing something so special. Like, I should never worry of how you're going to do it, but I should know that you're always going to do it.
Amen.
He's always going to allow whatever he wants for your life to come to pass. If it's his will, that's it. It's his way. He wins. So that's really how that was my process. And then I think from starting it and from actually running with it, I was going through a season where I was kind of pouring a lot in people. And I love people. I love helping. I love mentoring the ladies around me. And I was going through a season where I kind of was procrastinating in a sense. I was helping everyone, just focusing on their own struggles and their own prayer requests. And I was kind of like losing track, I would say. And it was all because I was waiting. I was waiting on the right timing. And God gave me a clear revelation. It's like, your greatest enemies are procrastination, the distractions, and yourself. And if you keep allowing and giving the authority to the enemy, like, you're going to miss out on what I have for you. And not that we ever miss out on what God has for you, but we can delay it ourselves because we're just not focusing. We're not aligned. We're not tuned with his voice.
That's good.
And when I started just kind of becoming, walking into silence and solitude, I started realizing, like, God doesn't want me to put this on hold. Sometimes you just got to start, and you got to trust, and you got to run with it. And I will never forget, it was crazy. One day, I got picked up by a friend. And this was, it was when I decided I wanted to start a nanny company. Out of nowhere, all the friends around me, all my best friends, they all reached out. And they said that they were going to quit their jobs and they wanted to become a nanny. And I was like, whoa, you know, what is going on, Lord? But I think, like, that it's so true. Surround yourself with people that are better than you, that know more than you. And that's what it is. Iron sharpens iron in your community, in your squad. And that one friend said something to me that her boyfriend at that time has shared a vision. And that told her, and this is her, no one knew. None of my friend, only one best friend knew. No one else knew about my vision for trying to nanny. And she had said that he said for her to start a nanny company, a babysitting company, he said. That was his language. And she was like, I can't do that. Like, that's crazy. But she didn't realize what that vision, what she was saying, wasn't really for her. It was because she was meant to share it with me. And that was God revealing to me that if you don't do it, the vision I gave you, someone else will.
Ooh, that's so good.
And that was the target. That was the last second that I said, you got my attention, Lord. I am yours. I surrender. I'm running with it. I say yes and amen to your plans for my life. And that's when I said, you don't gotta tell me twice. Let's go.
Let's do it. See, and I feel like you said something there so good. you said you were in the season to where you were praying for people and speaking on prayer requests and interceding and everything. But I also feel like what God was getting at, or what God was trying to tell you, is he said, that's not your season right now. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm equipping you. That's not what I'm preparing you. Trendy nanny's on your plate. Get to it, basically, or else I'm gonna give it to someone else. You know what I'm saying? And you're able to do that prayer. And it's crazy, because I'm really thinking about right now, it's really obedience, really. Like, we see, and that's the thing, we see, you did it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were praying for people, because you're amazing at praying for people. You were doing at what you knew you were great at, right? You knew what, and I feel like so many people are sometimes scared to jump out and start their own business or start their own hustle and be an entrepreneur or start their own ministry, because they just feel that that's not something they're great at. So they rather continue on what they're great at. But the reason you started praying wasn't because you knew you were good at it, was because of obedience. And the reason you're starting Trendy Nanny isn't because of your own business acumen or your own business skills, but it's more because of, you know, that's what God wants you to do right now.
Right.
Am I hitting a mark right now?
No, there's just so much, like, power in being obedient itself. I always say, like, obedience leads to opportunities. And I think oftentimes, it's not because we're not obedient, but because sometimes, like, even doing right, it's right for sure, but it's not the steps or the instructions that God is asking for us specifically.
That's good.
So even, you know, in that season, I was praying for everyone, and that's not that it's wrong, but it's that God was instructing me, and I was holding, I was putting it off. And I know everything happens for a reason, and every single, God's time is so perfect. But there's, you know, not that his blessings never happen, it, we can delay them ourselves, right? I think there's so much power in that.
Yeah.
That we can delay by just not walking in his instructions, not walking on the path he's calling us, because we're distracted, we're just, we're part of so much, and that we're not getting in the place of solitude and silence and listening to him. Listening. I've learned so much power, even in this COVID, like, even this pandemic, is just listening to God, because so often we think that we have to pray and speak to God, right? That's what we were challenged. We understand that we have to speak to God, come in his presence and speak to him. But are we listening? How do we know what God wants from us if we're not listening?
That's good.
So in that season, I think I had to just stop and listen, stop and reflect, stop and accept. Because when you accept, right, and you accept that you're doing something wrong, that's really where the transformation happens. And I think a lot of times, reason why you were saying that, reason why people don't know how to get out of their comfort, is because to get out of your comfort, you got to put on like a new vest, right? Oof, because you got to walk into
true.
Battle.
That's
and
true.
And it's like you're gonna walk into something that you don't know much about, and you're gonna fail, and might struggle, you're gonna come across battles. But people don't want to do that. So people will stay right where they're at because they're okay with where they're at, because things are going right. And I've just learned that, you know, I like a challenge. And I like, we were just talking about it, David, like we like to grow. We like seeing growth in everything. We like to have, we're futuristic. One of our strengths is like being futuristic and visionary and like having a vision. But some people are okay with where they're at. And I think the enemy, honestly, I'm going to say it too, the enemy, I think, puts this lie in people's lives, that they can stay where they're at, and people tend to forget that God's called us for more. And that's why if you ever meet a friend, they're still doing the same old thing. And not everyone, listen, hey, you know, some of us are meant to be fingers and not thumbs. See, not everyone, we only have one thumb in our hands, you know what I'm saying? Not that everyone is meant for one thumb, but like, that's important to know, because some of us are called to be under other leaders, but some of us are called to lead. And now if you know you, God's given you an anointing and like a spiritual gift to lead in a business aspect, business area, you need to step out that comfort, and you just got to trust. I think being obedient comes with trusting God fully. Sometimes people are like, we trust in God, but then they're doubting the promises he's given them, the doubting the vision he's placed on their heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if he's truly trusted in God, you're going to know that it's going to take obedience and, you know, small steps to get to where you want to go.
I think that's so powerful. I think everything you said was just mwah, compliments to the chef up in the sky. Really, really good, honestly, but I'm going to be completely honest, too. I think that this COVID situation, too, you know how a lot of times in church we were raised with, like, oh, stop listening to the doubters, stop listening to the haters, right?
Right.
You know, God has anointing, God has something planned on you. I feel like now COVID and quarantine, people got to start saying that to their own doubts because their biggest hater isn't. At school is not, you know, the bully that's going to pick on you when you get outside of class. And not the person trying to take your lunch money. It's those people on social media. It's those it's those voices in your head. It's those terrible DMs you might get. It's those are the doubters. But also the biggest doubter is the one that you are with 24/7, which sometimes is yourself. And I was, and me and you spoke this earlier, I feel like the closer something is to your heart, I think you said it, the closer something is to your heart, the harder it is for you to get started, or harder it is for you to actually go. And I feel like with us being obedient, we have to realize that, listen, God has called you. God had not called you to do it on your own. That's the thing. Our own natural anointing. The cool thing about anointing is not something that you can get on your own. It's not business gifts. Where we are right now is nowhere we can get on our own. It's only with God. And I think people are sometimes scared to step out because they're scared of, like, one, like, I'll be honest with me. Sometimes I feel like I don't know enough knowledge. Every day I'm reading a new article on something that makes me feel, like, kind of dumb because I'm like, I didn't even know this and I've been doing it. What? And I hear other people, experts in the field, talking about terms I don't know. It's just kind of like, oh, my. And then it kind of makes me grow more doubts in my head. And then I just got to be like, listen, God has said this. It's up to God's hands. I'm going to do my part. And that's where I feel like obedience lies, just doing your part. Like, I don't have to be a Joe Reagan, or I forgot his name, the famous podcast boxing guy. I don't got to be Michelle Obama on Spotify. I don't got to be none of these people. You know, you don't have to be like, I don't know, you probably have some nanny companies in your head that you're thinking about. I mean, you probably walked into a couple nanny offices and was kind of like a little intimidated. But, like, you know, it's growing on that for us to have grace in ourselves. But I like what you said about COVID and isolation, too. So tell us a little bit about, like, what just in church. I know a lot of people, like you growing up, there's that stereotype about business people. So tell us a little bit about how you dealt with it or how you now deal with it.
Wow. I think it's actually funny because, so I grew up, I did have the opportunity to grow up in church. My parents were youth pastors for many years. And my dad has always been an entrepreneur, so he's always had different businesses. So since I was like little, he's always owned different stores. So just some background regarding that was because I learned a lot from my parents. I've learned so much from my dad. My dad has started businesses with nothing. And then he's also started businesses with just having that vision or running with it. So financially with nothing, and then sometimes he's some businesses he's had by saving and just trusting in God. But from learning so much from my parents has been a blessing too. I think it's kind of like in all of us, just that entrepreneur mindset. But I never thought my life would be like where it's at. And I'm so young, but I just could not imagine that this was what I was going to be at the age that I am, 22, if you guys are all wondering. But I think I did graduate with a degree, organizational leadership. And that degree has helped me change my perspective on what leadership looks like. Oftentimes, people think that a CEO, a business owner, leadership is just someone that's in charge of everything, and it's not that. See, people think that just because they have the financial, you know, blessing to, like, they can start a business. Yeah, that's sure, you sure can. But see, I think starting a business is learning how to lead a family, learning how to lead a team. And to grow up in church, I think it's a blessing to know what how church is like, how it's run, and also what it's like to lead with a Christ-like mindset. So I think a lot of my beautiful, you know, strengths have came from just serving God's kingdom and serving his people. Because let's be real, like when you're in church, you have to love, I don't want to say you have to love like extra, but the truth is you don't know these people and you don't know their stories. So you're not going to just treat them like you treat a stranger on the street. I hope you treat them both with full of love.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone's kind of like putting a smile on their face, you know, just welcoming, being, you know, loving and stuff. But I think like you have to just like in church, you want to greet everyone with a welcoming heart and a loving heart. So I would say like the church has helped me so much of how to lead and see people the way Jesus created them, or the way God created them, and his intentions behind everything, right? I think as a leader, you have to have great intentions with everything. You have to have a posture, right posture, and a vision for your life. If you are able to really have a posture of like welcoming, of love, and to give, like you're going to be blessed and you're going to be so much more blessed because you're giving, not to receive, but you're just called to give. And so I think growing up in church has taught me so much with that in the business aspect. But I also would say one of the challenging thing in any business is the boundaries between Christianity and being an entrepreneur, because oftentimes people think that just because you love God and just because you're in church and they know you from church, that they expect a blessing. And I'm being real here, but
I'll be real, girl.
It's true, and I had to learn the hard way because my parents are such a give, like they're such giving individuals and a giving couple, that for so many years my dad got walked over, like got walked on. People would, you know, they knew that, you know, his name is Juan, but they call him Gio. That Gio was like, oh, Gio's gonna bless us. Like if we don't pay now, we can pay later. And the next thing you know, they never pay for their whatever they had purchased. And I think one thing I learned is that, like, there, you know, God doesn't want us to get walked over on either. He wants us to create healthy boundaries.
And that's so true.
A book for anyone that's reading that I highly recommend, I haven't finished it, but it's called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, I believe. And it's just understanding like how to be nice, but also being being a boss, being a leader as well, because I think the church tells us to give, and it's true. You know, we're supposed to tithe, we're supposed to give, and we're supposed to bless others, but oftentimes we need that boundary or making sure that, am I giving from a cheerful heart, or am I giving because that's what they're expecting? Am I giving because that's what I'm supposed to be? You know, like you have to get a clear revelation of your vision of your heart and what you're called to do. Because if you're giving and you don't have a right posture, like that's not how we, because people give and they're like, oh, because God says I give, like I'm gonna be blessed. Well, it says to give from a cheerful heart. A cheerful giver is the one that's gonna be blessed, right? So I think like there's so much areas that we can get better in the Christian church, but I also think that being born and being raised in the church, you have this perspective of how to treat people and how to love on people. And maybe someone that's listening to this podcast can disagree on that, because maybe they've had a really bad experience from their own church or from their own team or from certain leaders that are in the church. I just want to say that those are people's actions. They do not represent God. And although we're called to exemplify Christ, I think you're going to come across people that are going to tell you or show you otherwise. My greatest advice to anyone is those are people. They're not Jesus, and they're going to make mistakes. So I don't go based, my relationship with God is not based on the people that I come across. And that's so important to know in the business area, because oftentimes you're going to, like you were saying about like those bully comments or those DMs and just getting hate and stuff. Like it's not about that, because at the end of the day, like, this is God's vision for your life, and he's chosen you for it. So just, I would say, like, when you, I'm coming off track here, but like it's all gonna come together. Implementing what you learn in church and the goodness, like at the end of the day, church is a business, the structure to it. It's like how they greet people, how they hire people, how they have healthy teams, healthy leadership, effective leadership, how to communicate, how to make sure people are coming back, and how to make sure people are growing, spiritually growing, physically growing, and just learning so much to it. So I think for me, being raised in church and also getting that specific degree that I have, organizational leadership, I've learned that there's just so many layers to a healthy team. And in order to get, in order to grow in a business, you have to make sure that you're individually healthy, mm-hmm. and that your team is for your vision and they're here to accelerate your vision. That's mm-hmm. one thing I learned about Pastor Rich. He is such an incredible leader. He's taught me so much. I've had the opportunity to be like, to have hands-on like trainings regarding what it's like to build a church. And one thing I know is that he's the same leader off and on that platform. You're going to expect, and I know that I will find the same consistent man that's preaching on a Sunday the same way Monday through Saturday when we're all hanging out in the office or we're in a gathering or an event. And I think that's so important, too, because you have to get right physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally before you can raise and lead other people. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, because not that we're always going to be perfect, but if you can get right with God, And right with yourself and love yourself and love God, you're going to be able to love others. You're going to be able to see others. You're going to be able to say, hey, you know what? You're coming on this team and I'm here for you. I want to push you. I want to teach you. And you're not going to see them as a competition. You're going to see them as community. And in church, the greatest thing about church is the community you're a part of. If you're around people, and let me tell you, if you're around people in church and they are trying you, they're saying slick comments that doesn't glorify God, get away from them. Find your people, because I always say the Holy Spirit will allow the people God wants you to be around, mm-hmm. and he's going to surround you with divine connections. Mm-hmm. So with that, you're going to bring that into your own business, and you're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to provide the right employees, the right resources, and that's the right good. People that are for your vision and that want to help you get to where God's calling you.
That's good. That's good. Yo, you just did put a whole business plan out there for me real quick. I love what you said about Rich too. Like, this isn't a main point, but like, just that I probably talked to him once in like a team night, like one-to-one. It was a short conversation. No, I think I talked to him again in the courtyard. Man's great. I get a great energy from him, great vibe. Definitely anointed. And one thing I love about him is he works like, I feel like, I'm just going to talk about his personality real quick. Just right. A little, I never went to VU for a long time, but just, I can pick quite a few things off people. First of all, outside of being one of the only few pastors I do follow on Instagram, because he is amazing. I think I'm going to start with that, actually. He works quick. But it's not like a quick that's untamed, but it's a quick, like, it's accurate. Like, it's almost like, I might take this crazy context right here for this analogy. It's almost like he's in the middle of, I'm just going to do it. He's in the middle of a whole battle, right? Battle for Christ. And it's like he's an archer, right?
Yeah.
And everywhere he hits, though, like, you're just kind of like, you see other archers, and they're kind of like, when they try to do as fast as he does it, they miss. But and so when sometimes in the first look at Rich, you're gonna be like, oh, he might miss. But then you look at the target, and it's like, oh, he hit it. And I'm like, you know, it's very rare that you find people like that. And I feel that comes with maturity. And I could tell you this: I don't know him personally, I don't know his stories, but I feel like he probably made a ton of mistakes growing up and did not regret one of them, because he knows that it's what made him who he is. It's a lot of times people have a choice in life. They can either live life reserved and make little mistakes because they make little risk and little decisions, or they can live life very animated and very out there and be open to mistakes because they realize the wisdom that lies in the end. You can only make so many mistakes in life. Right. And he's like, how do you say? A lot of people keep their personality on the inside, and then they have this demeanor on the outside. I feel like he's the opposite. He has his personality on the outside, and then his whole demeanor, cool, like in the inside. He's great. He's funny. I love his activism during the whole Black Lives Matter situation.
Right.
I felt like he was very quick to react, despite what I know other people might disagree on exactly what may have been said. It's not really, I look past that. I look at, this was a man that knew his beliefs and knew what he wanted to say right when something happened. And I feel like That is important in any crisis, and that's what deviate leaders. I feel like so many leaders nowadays, and I know we're gassing up Rich Wilkerson for a quick tangent real quick, but I feel like so many leaders nowadays, they look to be prepared. But and I'll preach, I'd rather be proactive than reactive 24/7. Right. I'd rather plan. I'll preach that 24/7. But at the same time, it's knowing who you are that means that you don't even have to plan to be reactive. Because when a reactive situation happens, even before it happens or before you see it, you already know how you're going to respond. Because you know the ground you stand on, you know who you are, and you know your identity. So no matter what might happen in the United States or in the world tomorrow, Rich knows exactly what he was going to say. But yeah, we took a left, right? Cause I know.
But wait, actually, you were getting started. That was I agree with you. You said something. You were saying it's almost as if, and it's funny because you were like having this like battle right now. That's talking like you didn't want to share the analogy, but I think that was such a powerful analogy. You were saying that it's almost as if he knows that he's like about to go into war and go into battle, and he's like he needs to get it going and he gets it done. I think one thing about Pastor Rich and honestly Vu itself is that they are excellent in what they do, and they do not practice on people. So he wants to grow. So every day they're creating SWOTs on their team and just evaluating how they can get better weekly, day by day. And I think it was so powerful how you said that you can look at someone else that might be doing something similar to what he's doing, and some of his targets are not reaching the goal, or they're not growing, or they're not getting where they're looking to go, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned, or I was told a couple months ago, is that be careful what you're saying about your neighbors, because you don't know what it took for them to get there. Mm. And that's so important to know for any business, for any leader, for any ministry, is because you cannot compare, you know, someone that has been doing it longer than you, or you cannot compare someone that has more experience than you, or whatever it is. Do not compare yourself. Mm-hmm. And do not look at someone and think, man, I want what they want, because there's so much more things that they've gone through. You know, maybe that person is where they're at because of the passion that they have to this day came from the loss that they went through when they were younger. Maybe that passion or that fire in someone to this day is getting there, where they're is giving them the power to continue to move towards what they want because they didn't have nothing. You know, and I think the Pastor Rich has learned, because he was born in the church, I think, as a man of God, as a leader, and as also because he's a husband to Don Cherie, I think what he's learned is that because he was born in church, he's realized what he liked and what he didn't like. And he wanted to create a vision that he can reach the people that were further from God or far from God. And he looks at them. And Mike Todd always says, Pastor Mike Todd says that, you got to go for the one. It's not about how many people are in the chairs. If you can get if you can get Abigail in the front row, then you won. And that is what it's like in the business area aspect, right? Is that you gotta take it day by day, and you gotta say, you know what? Am I gonna stay here, or am I gonna keep moving forward and reaching that one? Reach one goals. I'm learning, because I'm not really good at being practical, and I'm just learning this pandemic of how to become practical, because I'm realizing, like, can't be too much of a futuristic visionary person, because you got to be practical and, like, take baby steps, too.
Of course.
So, but yeah, he's fantastic.
I know we keep jumping on each other's points, but I like what you said about what Mike Todd said about Abigail in the front row. Because I like what you said about the front row part. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and me and you have visited church, and we know a lot of times, like, we go to that church, and that one pastor's like saying, hey, everyone in the back seats, you know, come to the front. Sit on the front couple rows. You can't sit on the back seats and all of that. And I love what you say, because you're making people not just be there to be there, but you're making people excited to participate in it. And it's crazy. I was talking about Joy on this podcast, not Joy my friend, but like just Joy and having Joy, because I've been doing like a lot of research into it. And, you know, I've been finding a lot about Joy is not always just a feeling or emotion, but it's rather a place that we are as Christians. The fruit of joy is the act of being in Christianity, being in Christ, instead of just looking at Christ. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like when you say making people excited to sit on the front row, you're telling people that people are coming to church not just to watch a preacher, but people aren't coming to church. People are coming to church to experience God in a whole new way. Because I feel like many times in church, and I'm confident that many people just go to church just to watch it, just to watch preachers, watch worship. They do the routines, they do the rituals, standing up, X, Y, and Z. They do all that stuff, but they are just spectating. They're not participants. And I feel like that gets sometimes lost in it. But we're going to go back on track real quick. And we're going to probably hit the last point that I want to talk to you a little bit about, Jay. The original point that me and you were going to talk about, compassion. What do you think during COVID, COVID has really taught us about compassion, and what's really like, why is compassion so needed during COVID? I know we took like a huge right turn, but, you know, talk a little bit.
I mean, I think this is a great question. I think one, compassion is a concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others, right? And I think in this pandemic, a lot of people are fighting battles. One is because people were forced to quarantine, self-quarantine, and people were forced to be isolated, right? Mm-hmm. And I say the word isolated because not a lot of times people they don't like to be by themselves. So when you're forced to be by yourselves, it's kind of like you're in a place of isolation. Mm-hmm. And I say that, you know, I've learned, or I think one thing that everyone should learn too, is have compassion for others, because we don't know their story and we don't know the sufferings they face. And this has been super, super heavy on my heart these past couple months, and I would say year, because two of my close friends, they recently lost their mother from cancer, and just seeing so many people so close to me losing and struggling. Some of my friends were dealing with depression and anxiety. Some of my friends were suicidal, like just very, very heavy stuff. And I think everyone suffers, whether it's as bad as losing someone or whether it's as bad as being anxious, right? No suffering is greater than any suffering, just like no sin is greater than any sin. I feel like they're all equal and they're all heavy, they're all hurtful. And I learned that even during this COVID, it's just like, just to be more empathetic for other people. Mm-hmm. And just to more like to understand and let others share their feelings. Mm. Let others speak. Because I didn't realize, I always knew people go through things, but I didn't realize how hard it's been for people during this COVID mentally. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say mentally, because financially as it is, there's businesses that are struggling. There's people that can't even afford their next rent. They don't have, they can't pay for their bills. People are struggling. I know all around this world. And then physically, people are losing people, right? They're losing through COVID. They're losing. And then how about the people that are sick, not even from coronavirus, that they're still sick and they can't be treated or they can't be cared because the focus right now is on coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that are struggling mentally. That as it is, they don't even like being home and they're forced to be at home and they don't have a safe environment and they don't have the healthiest family members or friends or they don't even have a home. Mm. And then what about the people that being by themselves is where the enemy attacks them the most? What about the people that they cope by hanging out with friends and by going out, because once they get in bed at night, they struggle with demonic, you know, thoughts or suicidal thoughts? And this is so real, but I feel like more than ever, we are in need to speak to the Lord and to get clear revelation, not only for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, but for ourselves. So I think what it is that we are living in times and living in COVID, this pandemic, that people are losing their faith. Their faith is being shaken and they are struggling because, you know, when you're hanging out Monday through Friday, and you're with the boys, you're with the homegirls, you're with the friends, you're with the family members, it's all good because your thoughts can't process it because you're busy. You're keeping yourself busy.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, get busy living, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens when everything's on pause and you're forced to, all you can do is think and reflect. And, you know, I would say it's just like having compassion for others is so important. I've learned so much. I think we got to keep loving on others. We got to keep reaching out, saying, how can I pray for you? But most importantly, if there's someone in this podcast and they're struggling with something during this COVID, I want to tell you to have compassion for yourself. I was someone sent this video to me this morning. It's that, and it was from this leader. I can't even tell you his name. I think it was Gary. And he was saying that people need to live Christ-like, but also childlike. Mm. And not necessarily to say to live childish, because we don't want immaturity. We don't want to live childish. Like, get right. But childlike in the sense that children, they dream, they believe, they use their imagination, they control, they choose joy, they want to laugh, they want to have fun, they want to do things. And kids can play. They can play at home without even having friends. They can play with their toys. And he was saying that we're living in times that people are taking life so serious that every single thought, they don't know how to control the thought. So that's why depression, anxiety are kicking in, because they don't know how to control it. And I'm saying, you know, I know it's easier said than done. So if someone's on here and struggling with depression or anxiety or just understanding someone else's suffering, I just want to say, like, we got to be gentle. Mm-hmm. We got to be gentle. We got to be understanding. For me, it was so hard to understand why someone struggles mentally, because I'm like, man, the enemy's a liar, but God has blessed me with how to be able to control my thoughts. But it's not for anyone. Not anyone can do that. And I say, just gain captive of your life again. Remember what it was like to follow Christ from the very beginning. And if you don't know Christ and you're listening to this podcast, I just want to say that it is through his grace, through his love, through his, because he already suffered for us. That was the greatest suffering on this earth. We can live in freedom. I know that our sufferings feel like they're holding us down, but we got to get back up and break the chains, break the lies of the enemy, and get moving. Whether, even if you're isolated right now, even, I didn't want to say isolated, because isolated is such a bad place. I want to say solitude. Silence is solitude. Don't see it as isolation, but see it as opportunities to get better between you and God. What can you do right now that's going to be better? It's going to make you a better you tomorrow. What can you do? Maybe if you have to do your bed 25 times, maybe if it's to reorganize your closet and put in color coordinating, like, sure. Just, you know, I definitely want to say, I pray that everyone has compassion for others, but also for themselves. I think people are so hard on themselves. They're hard. They're struggling. They feel like they're stuck. People feel like that God is not going to make a way, but he is working in your life. He is with you and for you for sure.
That's true. That's big true right there. That's big true, Jay. Nah, I mean, I love what you say about compassion, because when I think of people of compassion, you're obviously one of the first people that come up to my mind. When it comes to that and just keeping people in prayer and everything. And I think I'm going to end with this last question for you. Have you thought about, like, what has compassion... Okay, how about this? Last 2 years, right? You started in business, you graduated VU, you did all that in the last 2 years, right? Right. So, how has your definition or how you have applied compassion to your life and the people around you evolved since then and even to now? How has just putting everything that we talked into this podcast, like with business, with COVID, how has that evolved for you, has gained maturity and just the insight that you have just gained in this, in your business journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I learned about compassion is that sufferings are real and challenges are real. And I think we know that, but when it hits home, mm-hmm. and when it hits someone close to you and you're looking at them and you're not understanding and they're coming to you for answers and you're like, and then mind you, they love God and then they're looking at you and they're like, I don't get it. You have, like, I realized that, you know, God allows things to happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't his plan. I mean, maybe that he didn't create it, but he allowed it. Mm-hmm. And that's so important for me as I continued my path, or as I continue my path today, is to just understand that people are suffering and we have to be concerned for them. Mm-hmm. We have to have compassion for them. We have to, if people really are our heart, we should know what they're struggling with. And mm-hmm. not to say that just because you're friends with someone, you're going to know their deepest, darkest secrets. No, not at all. But it should be your worry.
Mm-hmm.
I love to get deep with people, so I love to know. I don't like surface questions and conversations. I want to know how I can be a help in their life, what they want for their life, and I want to speak prophetic words over these people. I want to make sure that they are growing individually, and it's just having compassion for them, because again, people. They hold everything that they go through because they don't feel comfortable, or they don't feel like someone else cares, or they don't feel like that. They don't want to put the burden on someone else's shoulders, so they hold it in. But when you make that intentional relationship and bond and really show up in that individual's life, they're going to see that compassion is really what you're filled with, and they're going to want to open up. And that's in anything in life. If you truly say that you love God or you love people, you're going to care so much about the people that if it hurts them, it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
If they're hurting, you're hurting. If they're mourning, you're mourning. If they're crying, you're crying. And that is powerful, because I'm not saying that you have to hurt every single time someone hurts, because maybe someone's always hurting. Maybe someone's always struggling. But you're being that warrior for them. You're interceding on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping in and you're speaking life over them. You're reminding them that they might feel how they feel in their season, but their valley is not their home. That God has more and higher levels that he is taking them, and that they might be hurting, but joy comes in the morning. Ooh. And just reminding them, speaking life over them, that Psalms 35, verses 20 through 24, says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Meaning, if you can get the clear picture right now, if you're listening to this podcast, that God pulls you. Mm. He's pulling on you. He doesn't let go of your hand. Because you know when they say, you know, if you think about a cliff, right? Someone's holding on for the cliff. The moment that they're slipping, they fall, right? They like the moment they lose grip, they're done. But that's not what God does. God never loses grip over your life. Mm-hmm. He never takes his hands off of you, his hand of protection, his blessings, his favor and grace over your life. So if you are struggling in COVID times, you're struggling with your business, whatever it may be, your suffering is just part of your testimony. Your suffering creates the strength that you're going to be filled with.
That's good.
Powerful. That's powerful.
That is powerful. There's a gift in your glitch, right?
Ooh, okay. All right.
That's a Mike Todd sermon. Shout out to him. All credit.
Get him on here.
Speak it. But yeah, definitely. I think that definitely just having you on today, speaking about this, especially with where everything is right now, definitely means a lot to me. It means a lot to everyone on the podcast, because I think that people, compassion is important, but also it's very important for us to have in ourselves. Like, we're not going to be perfect. We want to do everything perfect. You know, our business acumen, our execution, our planning. We want to think of every single details. But the more we think about these details, the more frustrated we're going to be when God decides to intercede and God wants to give me the wheel of this car because you're about to crash it. It looks good right now, but trust me, there's something you don't see, son, up the road. And I really do appreciate, especially from where you are and from where we are, I feel like, and I've been thinking about this the whole day, I was kind of like, you know, I see so many, like, the NBA restart, right? They basically, which shout out to them, because if you follow me on Insta, you gonna know I'm gonna talk my junk with the NBA, my hot takes. But so basically, like, everyone was saying, and I love Adam Silver for this, that, you know, they did a bubble, they didn't need to do like zero tested COVID for like I think a month now. And so everyone talks about, yeah, they need, like, when COVID happened and the NBA shut down first, that everyone was, like, basically building a plane that has already taken off. I feel like a lot of times, nobody wants to do that now. Nobody wants to build a plane while it's taking off. But I want you to understand that you're not the pilot when Jesus is riding. When he's in that cockpit and he's taking the wheel, don't worry. It's going to fly. You're just building it. Don't worry. You just have to start it. Don't worry. Just do it. The thing is, I break down these, and I encourage anybody that's like me and Janelle's right here that has a big vision that seems so intimidating, like you're going against a bear. Just do 4 or 5 little tasks every single day. Just say, I'm going to get this done, this done, this done, this done, this done. Me and Jay are only 22 years old.
That's right.
Listen, if me and her do 5 tasks every day till 30, man, what? Maybe Forbes 50 right there. But really, like, if we just got to be able to break it down and be like, listen, he just calling us to be obedient in this, in this, in this, in this, in that. Pray, get guidance, structure, plan. But at the end of the day, obedience, obedience, obedience. And also for people, have compassion, really.
Right.
Before we go, Jay, you have anything else for the listeners out there?
Well, it was an honor to be on here. Thank you for listening to my voice. David was like, yeah, your Cuban accent. I'm like, wow, my Cuban people don't think I have that much of an accent. But no, it's just, it's an honor to be on here. I feel so blessed and I feel so challenged after this conversation, really. I also think that, like David was saying, like just running with the dream that God's placed on your heart. And one thing to know is, like, don't build anything because your goal is to get wealthy from it. Mm-hmm. You have to have a vision that's going to build God's kingdom. It's going to reach people. If your vision is to be selfish and it doesn't honor or serve people around you, let me tell you, it's going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. But if you know that God's placed a vision on your heart and it's going to not only do well for yourself, but it's well for everyone else, I promise you that he's going to continue to have his hands over it and provide. And you're going to have favor and grace over your life and over the dream that's on your heart and over the people that's going to be walk into it, people that are going to people will be impacted by it, and you're going to leave imprints that are going to, you know, really glorify God. So I pray that this podcast blesses you and that you receive, you know, something you were asking God for.
Amen.
Whether that be a confirmation or just some guidance to it. But yeah, that's
definitely, definitely. And I know we're supposed to close up real quick, but I just want to say something based on what she kind of said. Just talking about, actually, I think it just poofed. Disappeared. Yeah, it just disappeared. I think God didn't want me to say it right now. I'll say it later for the next episode. Keep y'all subscribing. But definitely, it's always a joy having you here, Jay. Feel free to drop by again. But to all my listeners out there, thank you guys for listening to another episode of That Rabbit Talks Too Much. I think this was what I want to say. Okay, so yeah. Back to what she said about childlike heart. So if you tell your idea and your business idea and show your finances to a 5-year-old and they call you selfish, then you're selfish.
Would a 5-year-old know what that definition of selfish is? I'm a nanny, bro. Come on.
Okay, maybe not 5-year-old. What about 7-year-old? No, I don't know. If a young child sees what you're doing and calls you selfish, reevaluate. Because I don't know. You may be the expert in this. Do children have a better sense of right and wrong than most people?
Children are very intelligent, for sure. They tell you like it is. So I think for most people create boundaries and walls.
Excuses.
They don't want to say it. Kids are just like, I don't like it. No, they don't play.
That's it. This is why I need kids in my life. But that's another story completely for God to deal with. All right. But thank you guys for listening. Check out another episode every single day, 7 a.m. And check out Trendy Nanny if you are in need of a nanny. I'll get the details from Jay, put them in the show notes. Yeah.
Love or if you're a young girl looking for a job and want to be a nanny, reach out.
What's the age requirements, Mrs. J?
19 to any age.
19 to any age. 19 to 99. You heard that fear, yeah, folks. 19. Abuelita. Que pasó? All right. And by the way, when I first met her, she had the thickest Cuban accent. I'm just stating that right now. Whatever. There was nothing wrong with my ears.
Yo no sé que tú dices.
See, people are going to say that's horrible. All right. Love you guys. Bye-bye.